where you're going and all that as you come on up. And when, you know, we've been a little while praying about this and looking towards this, and so it's been a little while coming. And we had a church member here that grew up in the church that Colin is now pastoring. And they called me on a Sunday afternoon, and the pastor there had resigned, and he was crying and just brokenhearted about the situation. I told him we'd pray about it, and that if we could do anything to help them, that they could call us. And they called, and I told the preacher that we would pray with them about, you know, if God would lay somebody on our heart or if there was someone in our midst. And we did give them Brother Colin Morton's name, and the Lord just put all those things together. Amen. And the church had him up and called them to come up there. And so we're excited for them and what God is doing in their lives, and want you to pray for them, church, you know. And there's we all may think that there's some perfect situation, or but we're not perfect people, are we?
Amen.
And that's nowhere. And so there's going to be times he's excited, and I think they're going to a great independent fundamental Bible believing church, but they're going to need your prayers, because there'll be storms and there'll be things. But let's pray that God will give them a good time trip. I mean, they've got a long way to go, and pray for them, because if it's cold here, what's it like in Indianapolis? Amen. Come on and preach to us, brother.
Well, good evening. How's everybody doing tonight? And he said there will be storms. In our particular instance, it's going to be snowstorms. Pray for us, please. Because we were cold coming here, and it was 50, and it's 9 degrees there, you know. So please pray for us. We appreciate your prayers. And everyone has come up to us is kind of the same heart that we have. They said, we're excited for you, but we're sad to see you leave. And that's kind of exactly our feelings about it, too. We are excited, knowing that it's what God's will for our life is, but it's also bittersweet, because we are leaving home. This isn't we're leaving a job or leaving a church. It's leaving a place that my family's been since 2004, December 2004. This place is very special to me. It's where the Lord drew my family to come serve here many years ago. It's where I was saved, called to preach at Camp Glory. It's where I met my wife. It's where I was dedicated to the Lord, ordained, got my training, served the Lord here. So this is a very special place for me. And I'm looking out, and I don't want to start naming people, because I don't want to leave anybody out, because there's so many people that we love and just appreciate tremendously. But just thank you so much for all the people that I'm going to start naming some people. Brother Willis, I don't want to date him, but I'm 30. He was my 7th and 8th grade boys Sunday school teacher. So that means he's been faithfully serving the Lord for many years, still going strong at it. And Brother Short is one of the, where's the Shorts at? Brother Short and Mrs. Short are one of the original teens in our youth group, our first youth group teen parents. I'm telling you, days after the first teen church where we and my wife wanted to quit, Brother Short and Mrs. Short were such an encouragement to us, and they kept encouraging us and saying, you're gonna make it, just take it one teen church at a time. And so just so many great memories there, and so many other friends and family that we love and appreciate. I love Landmark Baptist College, and it's because your teachers go beyond just being your professor. And when I was blessed to work at the college for a couple years, Dr. Pitts and Dr. Bradley and all the other professors that were my professors in college, they never treated me as inferior. They always treated me as an equal, and I appreciate that tremendously, and the friendship that I have with them, and just Pastor Carter, you'll never know what you mean to me. Should have done this at the end. Thank you so much, Pastor Carter, for everything you've done for me and my family. You mean a lot to me. You preached the gospel message on July 31st, 2011, the night that I got saved. And I was sitting over there near the nursery door, and I remember he was preaching a message that felt like he was preaching right to me that night, and I got saved. And I thank you so much for just your love and support. You made me the youth pastor before I was married, and you put a lot of faith and trust in me. And I just thank you so much for that, Pastor Carter. I thank you, Pastor Parsons, for when we came back. We didn't have a plan B when we came back from New York. And I appreciate Pastor Parsons just kind of making up jobs for us at first, just so we could have something to do. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate Pastor Parsons just opening up his office to me anytime I needed to talk to him. And I appreciate his encouragement. And just thank you so much, church, for everything you've meant to me and my family. And we're just going to go into it. It's only going to get downhill from here. So emotionally, anyway. So if you have your Bibles, if you would turn me to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, we're going to look at the first 15 verses or so. And I want to be an encouragement to you, if I can, this evening. And with the Lord's help, I want to challenge us with this thought. What I believe God's desire for the church today, God's desire for Christians today, and that's to go forward. I want to challenge us as a church to go forward. And when I candidated there at the church in Indiana, that was the theme of the church. And the Lord led me to prepare a message to challenge the church there. And I wanted to challenge your hearts with this same thought about going forward for the Lord. Exodus chapter 14, and pick it up with me in verse number 1. We'll read the first 15 verses together. The Bible says this in Exodus chapter 14, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Verse number 11, And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to cast us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And I want you to look at verse number 15, specifically the last verse of verse number 15. The Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. That they go forward. And would you help me pray this evening that the Lord would be magnified and glorified through the teaching of his word? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day you've given us, Lord. Thank you for keeping us safely tonight as we gather together as your people. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful song service that we've had. Thank you, Lord, for just the faithfulness of your people. I pray that you would just hide me behind the cross as your messenger, fill me with your power, and help me just to present just a simple truth tonight that would challenge us and encourage us as your people and as your church, that we are on the winning side, Lord. No matter how difficult things may get outside of these walls, and no matter how hard things get, Lord, we're still winners, and you still have a desire for us as your people and your church to go forward and to still serve you and do more for you in 2022. And I pray that you would just be glorified in everything that's said and done. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As a way of introduction, the text we read describes a wonderful, powerful, and miraculous event where God guides his people in freedom out of bondage of slavery in Egypt. In moments from being delivered out of that Egyptian slavery, God has a peculiar set of instructions for his people. And I want to direct your attention to this and just make an application real quick, then move on. I want to, like Pastor Parsons, kind of have a lengthier introduction, but spend a little bit of time fleshing it out at the end. But look at verse number 1. Verse number 1 in Exodus chapter 14. I love history. Anybody like history here? Anybody like history? So I'm just a history nerd, so I kind of dug a little bit deep into the specific area of where God led his people. I want you to notice in verse number 1, the Lord speaks directly to Moses, giving him a series of specific step-by-step instructions. And then in verse number 2, this interests me. Look at it in verse number 2. It says, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea." That interests me. So I looked it up, and here's just a little bit of history nerd information. Pi-Hahiroth, many believe, means a large central ocean area. It means the mouth of a canal. Migdol, most historians believe that Migdol was an Egyptian watchtower. Was an Egyptian watchtower that was placed strategically by the riverside to view any incoming enemies. Or some people think that Migdol could have been a mountain range. Baal-zephon, listed in verse number 2, Baal-zephon, many believe, is located in Saudi Arabia. Against, the Bible says against, would indicate that it means across from. They were across from Baal-zephon. It was a Midianite fortress built for the Lord of the North, they called the Storm God. Now, I don't profess to know exactly the precise location where God's people crossed the Red Sea, but I want you to see a picture here. God specifically led them to this particular place. And I want you to paint a picture of the place that God led them and ask you why he led them here. He led them to entrap themselves. God led them to a place where they were surrounded. They were facing the Red Sea. They had a mountain range or a Midianite fortress on one side, and they were surrounded by the desert, and in the rear of them, hot on their trail, was the Egyptian army dead set for revenge. Why would God lead his people to get themselves entrapped? Well, the easy answer is he wanted to lead them to a place where there was no doubt at all about who was going to deliver them from their situation. The Israelites were completely helpless to free themselves from their situation. God brought them to a place of complete dependency on him. And this was not in my notes, but the place that you and I find ourselves living today in a time of uncertainty and in time of a pandemic and the Omicron and the economy, and now Russia is amassing their troops on the Ukraine border. We have China flying fighter jets over Taiwan, mocking our armies. Why would God bring us to this place in our life? I believe just like the Israelites, he wants to use our circumstances today to bring you and I to complete dependency on him. Amen. Dependency on him. The Israelites are now looking out over the Red Sea, which is 1,400 miles in total length. Has a total width of 220 miles with an average depth of 2,000 feet. They have either a mountain range or a fortified tower on one side, and on the other, the Egyptian army is hot on their trail. What on earth is God's people going to do? What is God's answer that he sends to Moses, their leader? What does God expect them to do surrounded and their backs are to the Red Sea? The answer we just read in verse number 15, God said he wanted his people to go forward. To go forward. And that meant crossing the Red Sea that God would miraculously provide for them later. He wants them to go forward. Keep that in your mind as we come back to it later. But in verses 3 through 8, God is laying a trap for Pharaoh. God wants to portray a people that are trapped and primed for the invasion and attack. And Pharaoh takes the bait. He takes his troops and his chariots, and he follows hard after God's people. In verse number 9, we see that Pharaoh overtakes them by the sea where they were camping and has them completely surrounded. Verses 10 through 14, we see the Israelites see the Egyptians approaching. They realize they're boxed in, and they begin to cry out. And then Moses questioning, they're quiet, crying out to Moses, and they're questioning why they were even freed from Egypt to begin with. In verse 15, in the midst of all that, 700,000 plus Israelites on a beach area that many believe is only 4 miles wide, trapped and angry Egyptians seeking revenge. And God's answer is to go forward. Amen. It's to go forward. Here's the application before we get into the notes and everything else. The application is this. I know we're not exactly standing with our toes in the Red Sea, and we don't literally have Egyptians pursuing hot on our trail. But listen, if you look around, we're kind of in the same predicament that the Egyptians are. I mean, look, our economy is floundering. Our enemies are making fun of us and mocking us. We have the government using a pandemic to control and propagate fear to its people. We have all the difficulties out there that are prevalent today. I believe God's answer for us today as God's people is the same as it was for the Egyptians. He wants us to go forward, church. He wants us to not stand still and be idle and be complacent. He wants God's church to go forward for God in 2022. He wants us to go forward. What does that entail? I believe God wants you and I to go forward. It means he wants us to keep reaching souls for Jesus Christ. He wants us to keep running the buses and bringing kids in where they can hear the gospel message preached and be given hope in their hopeless lives and situations. He wants the Christian school to keep growing. He wants God's people to sponsor more missionaries and propagate the gospel to places around the world that don't have a gospel witness. He wants us to continue to take the Great Commission personally and to reach souls for Jesus Christ and to train disciples and to keep going on for God. To do everything we can with the time that we have left. And I believe that time is running out. I believe God's return is sooner than it ever has been before. I'm telling you what, I told my wife last year in 2021 that I've heard my entire life about the rapture. I've heard my entire life that it's going to be soon. And I told my wife at the last part of 2021 and 2022, I said, look, I've heard that my entire life, but it's never been more real in my life than now. I don't believe my children, unless God decides to tarry for more souls to get saved, I don't believe my children are going to get old to be teenagers. I believe it's soon. I believe God's coming back soon. If we really believe that, church, that's more reason for the church to go forward. Amen. To go forward and do more. What will keep us, before we get into how do we go forward, what will keep us from going forward for God? What will keep us from going forward for God? Number one, we see a lack of faith. A lack of faith. Look at it in verse number 10. Exodus chapter 14, look at it in verse number 10. The Bible says this. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they realized the same God that delivered them was God enough to protect them. Is that what the Bible says? No, it says, and they were sore what? Afraid. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, beseech the Lord for us, to ask him what we're supposed to do. Is that what the Bible says? No. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. You know what they did when they saw the approaching Egyptians coming? They didn't remember the God that saved them from slavery in Egypt is God enough to deliver them from the Egyptians again. They were afraid of a foe that God had already defeated, church. And they saw the same enemy that God had already freed them from. And now that they're in chariots and they're coming after them, they begin to cry out in fear. And as was preached this morning, fear is evidence and proof of a lack of faith. I'll tell you what, if we're to go forward, the thing that's going to keep us from going forward is a lack of faith, is a lack of faith. They had faith, right? They cried out to God. The Bible says they cried out to God. No, they didn't cry out to God for help. They cried out to God for crying's sake. They were complaining and they were murmuring and questioning God's intentions and his care. And a lack of faith will keep us from going forward. Number two, we see it in verse number 12. Not only will a lack of faith keep us from going forward, but number two, looking back will keep us from going forward. Look at it in verse number 12. It says, "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." You know what? You should have just left us alone. That's what we told you the first time you said that you had a message from God to deliver us. We told you to leave us alone. We're better off making bricks and we're better off slaving away in the sun. You should have just left us alone. We've been better off. Looking back caused them to forget the glorious future that God had called them to. God had a wonderful plan, and that was to inherit a land flowing with milk and honey. And they said it was better to live in huts and make bricks and work out in the sun all day. Looking back will keep us from going forward. I'm not talking about reflecting on the blessings that God's done for us in the past, church. But in this particular instance, the Egyptians were looking to a life that was before God had saved them and rescued them and freed them. There's two trails of thoughts with this. Looking back, there's no reason at all for a child of God to lust after their past. Yeah. There's no reason for a born-again believer to ever say in their mind, I was better off in Egypt than I was now after I'm saved. I'm telling you what, you can have that. I'm telling you what, if you told me before 2011 that Colin Morton would be preaching, I'd probably laugh. And all of my teachers would probably laugh too. I mean, I was a bad kid. Some of you remember that. I was a bad kid and I got in a lot of trouble. I did stupid things, but God saved me. And friend, when he saved me, he had to reach way down to get me out of the dirt, way down to get me out of the miry clay. But he saved me and he began instantly in a moment to change my desires. It was not a desire to live for self. It was a desire to serve him and to preach the word of God. You can have that. The old Colin's dead to me. There's nothing that I desire that I had before I had Christ. But also, another trail of thought is this. Another danger of looking backwards is looking back and being satisfied with what God's already done. Now, I know nobody in here that's saved would ever desire to go back to life before Christ saved them. But if we're not careful, church, we can look back on all the things God's done. He's done a lot, hasn't he? Amen. Christian school, the radio station, the Spanish ministry, all that. If we look back too much and forget that God still wants us to go forward, we'll live in the past and we'll just stay in neutral. Amen. We'll stay in neutral. Be thankful for what God's done, but don't sit complacently by and just glean off of yesterday's manna. God still has a desire to work through Pastor Parsons like he did with Pastor Carter. And I know Pastor Parsons is a man of great vision, and he has a heart to do more for God. And we as a church, you as a church, should get behind him and support him, because God still has a desire to go forward and do more. But looking back and just living in the past will hinder that going forward. Number three, what will keep us from going forward for God is letting fear control our actions. Letting fear control our actions. Look at it in verse number 13. "And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Amen. You know what God was directing them to? Look, you're so focused on the opposition that you forget about the opportunity that you've been given to see God move and to show himself real to you like no one else has in the Bible. You get to sit there on the front row and see God crash the Red Sea on the heads of your enemies, and you get to see the dead carcasses bobbing up and down, and you didn't have to lift a finger to do it. God said, you know, you just trust me and I'll fight your battles for you. Instead of us as church members saying, how in the world is Brother Parsons going to do that? He's expecting all these people. Doesn't he know it's Omicron? Doesn't he know it's going to be probably cold that day? The weather, the forecast is going to rain. Instead of being a negative Nancy, why don't you get on your face and pray and ask God to do something mighty and powerful? And why don't you help and to make that day happen? Why don't you help the man of God instead of just nitpicking him and being negative all the time? Man, get behind them. Get behind them. Don't let fear and all the negative and all the opposition that's there. Just trust God and just watch and see what he does. Amen. I'm praying. Our anniversary Sunday is going to be y'all's anniversary Sunday. Our first service. I'm praying that you guys have a wonderful day. A record-breaking day in spite of Omicron. If it's going to happen, it's going to take God's people not letting fear control our actions. Nothing good happens when you're afraid. My mom's here. I'm going to tell an embarrassing story on her. You okay with that? Can I do that? All right. I probably need a place to stay tonight. Anybody got a couch? All right. So we went to the alligator place. What's that place called? Alligator World or Gatorland. Went to Gatorland. And they have this live interactive show. And the guy got up there. He got out of this case, this massive tarantula. And my mom is just instantly just, she's terrified, and she's just, I'm like, Mom, calm down. There's no way they're going to bring that thing out here. It's huge. It's deadly. It's massive. So sure enough, he starts walking up the aisle. And what my mom didn't know was when he bent down, he put the real one back in the cage and took out a puppet. But there was no way my mom would ever know that. And sure enough, she's grabbing me, and she's just like, oh, my God, he's coming, he's coming. I'm like, Mom, just calm down. It's going to be okay. And then sure enough, I'm telling you what, fear took over. I never seen my mom run that fast. I've never seen my mom run that fast. If I had a radar gun, she ran probably a 4.240 that day. 4.240. She was hurdling the pews, knocking over people's popcorn and drinks. Ah! Getting out of that place. You know what she did? Fear causes us to lose all sense of normalcy, all right? It causes us to abandon our senses and our discernment and our judgment. The only thing she was like, that tarantula is not getting anywhere near me, all right? I'm willing to throw anybody in its path. I'm getting out of here, all right? We're the same way. It's the same way when God's people respond the same way to fear today. It's just as silly. It's just as silly. A God that has the universe in his hand. The God that holds the stars in its place. The God that tells the world what to do and has dominion over everything is the God that's still in control in our everyday lives. Amen. How do we go forward? Number one, by strong leadership. By strong leadership. And I believe we have it in Pastor Parsons. Amen. We have a strong leader in Pastor Parsons that you can trust. And for anyone that's still here today that's like resistant to his leadership, he's not my pastor. What more does he have to do? I mean, he took over and filled the greatest shoes in America in Pastor Carter. He's led us through coronavirus without shutting down. He's led us to have Bible conferences, probably the best Bible conference I've been a part of in 17 years. He orchestrated been led the Lord to bring the perfect speakers, and it was just a wonderful service. We have a great leader, and God's given us a strong leadership in Pastor Parsons. And I'll tell you why he's a strong leader. He's a strong leader because a right leader is led by God. He doesn't make impulsive decisions. He makes every decision that he makes is led of God. It has the Spirit of God dripping all over it. And I'm telling you what, a right leader also leads others to trusting in Jesus. You know, as one of those people, Pastor Carter was my pastor, the only pastor I'd ever known. Pastor Parsons is a great man, but that's Pastor Carter. You know, I had to observe him, and I did vote for him, and I had to observe him. And you know what? The thing that won me over was most preachers today are all about drawing a fellowship to themselves, And Pastor Parsons always led people to follow the Lord and not himself.
Amen.
And that is what a right leader does. He leads people to the place that they trust in the Lord and not just trust in him. And that's what Moses was to God's people. Moses, every time they came to him, he knew that he was incapable of making the decision that his people needed them to make. You know what he did? He didn't try to, in his pride, come up with the solution to everyone's problems that they presented to him. You know what he did? Every single time they came to him, he always directed them back to where? The Lord. Listen, you're right. I don't know what we're going to do. You're right. I have no idea. There's no way we're going to fight off the Egyptians in chariots. There's no way that we're going to scale these mountains or even go through the fortified Midian fortress that's on our one side. But you know what we're going to do? We're just going to trust God. Stand still and trust God. God's going to bring us through like he always has. And that's what a good leader does. He always directs people back to turning their attention back to Christ. And that's what Moses did. How do we go forward? By strong leadership. We have the foundation that has been laid by past leadership in Pastor Carter. Pastor Carter laid a wonderful, tremendous foundation of this church for 50 years that it's so strong to withstand the storms that it has. And he himself has always relied on the power and presence of God's Spirit. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's how we go forward. The presence of the Holy Spirit. You know what? Nothing is possible without the presence and power of God and his Holy Spirit. And that's how we're going to get through it. So people ask me, why on earth would you leave Florida? I have no idea, except for God and his Spirit's leading me there. You kidding me? I've been praying, Lord, are there no churches in Florida? I mean, seriously, but God has led me to Indiana and the church there, Cornerstone Baptist Church in Lawrence, Indiana. And we were there. And the Lord just, it felt like when we left that place, I told Pastor Parsons, it was like we were leaving home. It was like we were leaving home there. And we prayed about it. And God, his Holy Spirit just confirmed it in my heart. And I'm not a caveman. I'm not just going to beat my wife over the head and drag her to Indiana. I said, Lord, if this is your will, you're going to give us both peace because this is going to be both of our ministries. And sure enough, she in tears said, you know what, when are we packing? And we just knew the Holy Spirit led us both to the point where this was God's perfect will. And we charge full speed ahead, not because of impulse, not because of just an anxiety of wanting to get out there in the work, but because God's Spirit led us. And if we're going to go forward as a church, we've got to be sensitive to the presence of the Holy Spirit. And number two, how do we go forward? By sincere obedience to God and his word. By sincere obedience to God and his word. Look at it in verses 4 and 5, and then also in verse number 22. The Bible says this, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. What's the next four words, church? And they did so. Look at it in verse number 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Now look at it in verse number 22. Verse number 22, Exodus 14. The Bible says this, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left hand. God's people did what they were told to do. Go forward. And you know what God did for his people? The obstacle that lay ahead of them. We want to go forward, but there's something that's keeping us from going forward. It's the Red Sea. What are we going to do? The Lord just miraculously parted the Red Sea. And just because he's just a great God, he dries the dry ground. Did they walk over on dry ground? I think it was a little bit more significant than just not to get mud in their sandals. I think the wheels and everything would get bogged down in the mud. But God dried the ground so it would be dry for his people to cross. How did they get to witness the power of God parting the Red Sea and witness them crossing over in such miraculous fashion and witness the power of God drop those water on their enemies? By sincere obedience to God and his word. By sincere obedience to God and his word. You know what? Even when the instructions from God didn't make sense to Moses or his people, do you know what their response was? Not to question, not to reason, not to use the rationale. It was to simply obey God and do as God said to do. You know what? Moses gives us a good example of what biblical obedience is. A biblical definition of obedience is to say yes to whatever God tells you to do. Moses, the instructions were, hey, Moses, I want you to leave Egypt and entrap yourself by the Red Sea. You know what Moses' response was? Yes, sir. You know what, Moses? I want you to cross the Red Sea. Without too much explanation or too much instruction besides just cross the Red Sea. Hold your staff over there and cross the Red Sea. Yes, sir. It was yes. He said yes to what God told him to do. That's how we go forward, church. By sincere obedience to God and his word. And number three, and we're done, by the power of God. Last but not least, by the power of God. Look at it in verse number 31. This is the climax of the story. The climax of the story. God's people had just safely crossed. And those Egyptians that they were terrified of, God held them at bay by a pillar of fire so they could safely cross. Now the climax of the story, they get to see the power of God in full display. Look what it says. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. The power of God changes things. When you witness the power of God, it does something to you. It gives you like this invincibility. I'm telling you what, we've had many answers to prayer in just our short marriage of 6 years. We almost lost my wife. We almost lost my wife in childbirth. I don't know if you knew that. Connor was born, and we had complications with my wife in childbirth. And I had left for like 15 minutes to go home in New York to get some things. And you would think after having a child, you would know what to expect for number two. But in such excitement, we leave, and I forget the overnight bag. And so we leave, and we head for home. And I said, is this a good time to leave? They said, yeah, sure, go ahead. And in 10 minutes of leaving and trying to come back to get to the hospital, I was with a church member. They get a phone call from their wife. From his wife, who was with my wife, and said, tell Pastor he needs to get home now. He needs to get to the hospital now. And he told me that, and, you know, what was I going to do? I have a church member in my car. I sped as fast as I could. I was going up on the median. I was passing cars. I was booking. I was flying to get there. I get to the emergency room. I get to the room there, and I run up the stairs, and I see probably every nurse on the floor. I don't even know how many, probably eight or a dozen nurses and doctors running in and out of my wife's room. And I walk in the room, and my wife is laying there with an oxygen mask. She's unconscious. And I'm thinking, what on earth happened? And they said, just there was complications. She passed out, and we cannot bring her back. We cannot get her to wake up. I'm telling you what, that was a huge trial for me and my family. The whole ordeal lasted about 10 or 15 minutes, but it was the longest 10 or 15 minutes of my life. I'm thinking, there is my best friend, the mother of my children, laying on that bed, and I am completely helpless to do anything about it. I didn't say any miraculous, deep theological prayer. I just said, Lord, please don't take my wife. God, please don't take my wife. And a few minutes later, she comes back too, and Everything's fine, and she's expecting our third child now, but you better believe Connor's going to hear that story, okay? Listen, buddy, the least you can do is clean your room. You almost killed your mother, okay? All right? Go clean your room right now. But I'm telling you what, this may not be anything to what God's done for you in your life, but it's a big deal to me. I pray just a simple prayer in the darkest moment of my life. After being saved. And God, out of everything else going on, he heard my prayer. And he, in accordance to his will, answered my prayer and woke my wife up. And baby and wife are perfectly fine today. Do you know what that was? That was the power of God that we got to see for our own eye, with our own eyes. I'm telling you what, after going through that and seeing God's power in a moment to answer a prayer like it was nothing, 12 doctors putting their brains together were fumbling over each other. And my God, the great physician, answered my prayer in a moment and brought her back to me. Do you know what that does to me and my family? That gives us strength to go forward.
Amen.
If God has a power to do that, there's nothing in 2022 that He cannot do for my family. You're pastoring in the middle of Omicron, the economy going down. You're going to Yankee City. You're going to Yankee Cold North, okay? God's got enough to do the miraculous today. God's powerful enough to do it if we as God's people would trust Him and go forward. If I could have your heads bowed and eyes closed, just to ask you one question, and I'll turn it back over to Pastor Parsons. The Israelites got to witness something that very few people in the Old Testament got to witness. All their enemies destroyed in a moment. The people that they were terrified over, wanting to go back to their old life, God just destroyed them in an instant. That same powerful God is the same powerful God for you and I today. You can trust Him with your future. You can trust Him as a church to go forward, because He's God enough to lead us going forward. Listen, if you have a desire this evening to go forward for the Lord in your own personal life, do more for Him than you've done in 22. Man, would you please come forward and just ask the Lord to help you do that. If you want Anniversary Sunday to be the best it's been in a long time, would you pray that God would do that for this church? Would you pray that God would show you what you could do to make that happen? If you want this church to keep going forward for God, first off, would you be a part of that change? Actually, be a part of it. And would you pray that God would do it? Thank you.
Stand to our feet. It's been a good message for us tonight. If God spoke to your heart, why don't you step out and come? As Brother Rodriguez sings, you step out and you come.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender.
Bow your head with me tonight. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, well, we'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know that you know that you know that you're on your way to heaven. Many have come and they're praying. Many of them know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. They're praying that God would help them. But one of the points that Brother Colin made tonight was that we need to follow God in obedience. And the first step of obedience to the Lord is really stepping out and trusting in Him. Trusting that, just believing that what He says in His Word is true. So if you're here tonight, as Brother Rodriguez gets ready to sing, step out and come. If God is speaking to you and drawing you and you need to be saved, then you come and be saved tonight.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all
to Jesus.
Jesus, I surrender, make me Savior, holy thine. May thy Holy Spirit
sing it with us now.
Fill me. May I know thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Amen. It's been a good message for us tonight. Amen. Listen, if God spoke to your heart and you're here, you're not saved, well, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved tonight. A lot of times when we have an invitation, sometimes we're hesitant. I have a father who got saved because he white-knuckled the pew and held on all the way through all the verses the preacher sang. But on Thursday night, someone was faithful to go by the house and give him the gospel and he got saved. Listen, you don't have to wait till Thursday night. If you're here and you're not saved, well, we'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know that you know that you know. Just come to one of us, and we'd be glad to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved.